Today's your number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Lagos, good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in. It's Health Thursday. As you know, every Thursday we discuss health and health-related matters on the show today. We'll be looking at mental health because the month of May, right from the beginning, which was on a Monday, May 1, up until the last day of May, which will be on a Wednesday, May 31, has been devoted to mental health awareness. So it's called Mental Health Awareness Month for the month of May. There's a lot going on in the mental health space, a lot. I think that we're even fairly okay in this part of the world. In other parts of the world, they are dealing with how to identify themselves, either as mushroom or log of wood or chair or table. They are dealing with things that they are putting in the curriculum of schools of their children. They are dealing with a lot of things, yeah? But here, we are not there yet. But it doesn't mean we don't have our own fair share of mental health issues as well. So you're welcome. You're welcome with your questions as well, because this is going to be highly interactive, all right? I am Sheriff Quadri. You're welcome. I have my guest here seated. If you're watching online, I'm sure that you already know, you've seen her. She's someone that you listen to Saturday nights on Intimacy Clinic here on Nigeria Info. Yep. And she needs no introduction. Dr. Tolu Koigari is here. Dr. Tolu, good morning to you.
Good morning.
How are you?
Awesome.
I can see
beautiful.
That.
I'm awesome. I'm doing very well. I'm in a good place.
Yeah. So I know we've had this conversation. I don't know if you can remember how loaded that question "how are you" is. And sometimes you need to think carefully, because people, it's habitual now. People just say, "I'm fine, I'm good,"
automatic answer.
Like, how is that important in mental health space?
We use that like a compliment, but it's not supposed to be so. So when you ask me how I'm doing, I want to pause. In fact, it's a good time for me to check myself, like, okay, how am I doing truly, right? So how are you? In fact, that's a very good place to start from, like you have said. It's a question. It's not a compliment. It's a question. And because as much as we have a good and bad side as Africans, but I feel like culturally we have this tendency to be secretive, the tendency to be hypocritical, because we want to live up to people's expectation. You want to keep up, you know, a happy face. People should think you have everything well put together. But like we normally say in the mental health sphere, that it's okay not to be okay. So it's okay to say, to pause. When somebody asks you, how are you? It's okay to pause and ask yourself, indeed, how am I? So it's okay to say, I don't even know. I know sabi as they do me say. It's okay to say, maybe sad, maybe lonely, maybe confused. Those are answers.
Do you think people would confuse that to you desperate for help, desperate for attention? All of those things, all of those stereotyping that we quickly just judge people by how they look, the response they give you. Could you say that's why people are just used to,
fine,
you know, go kukuma, just help me anyway. Make I just say fine, thank you.
Now, that's why we're having this kind of conversation.
Yeah.
The person that is also asking should not also ask and say, how are you? And then just walk away. Stay with the person. There's a way you ask, and you ask like you really mean it. Look at the person and say, how are you? Right? And then, so if it's both sides, if the both parties are aware, there'll be a level of understanding. You are not going to be feeling like this person will just judge me or stereotype me, because you feel like the person will also understand. So if we are creating this kind of awareness and we are generally having that understanding that for both the person that is asking and the person that is answering have that common understanding that I really want to know how you are doing. So I think that will reduce the tendency to feel ashamed or feel judged. And just saying, can I give you a hug? Or can I know somebody you could talk to? Do you mind talking about, or do you mind talking about it? Or can I buy you a drink? You know, or just smiling at
the person. Why do you think people don't share what they're going through, even with their partner, like my husband, my wife? People don't have that habit of opening up. I don't know if it's got to do with their past experiences, but I'd like to, you're a professional counselor. I mean, talk me through this. Why is it that people find it very hard to open up?
So I say this, Sheriff, in my private practice, I tell you the number one cause of problem in marriages is secrecy.
Mm.
And for us as Africans, it's rooted in our culture. So it's more like, in a lot of cases, out of respect. I don't know how he would take it. I don't know how she will understand it. See, I tell you, I don't know. You know, when you ask me a question, I want to go everywhere. And in my head, I'm thinking, which one should I pick? Now, see, at the early stage of my practice, I joined an international association of marriage and family counselors, or marriage and family therapists. And there was a manual that was sent to me. And in those days, you know, those newsletters, and they said, when you want to see your couple, see them together for your first session. Mm. So you can understand the power dynamics. Right. And that really makes sense. So you could, by looking at the way they relate to each other, you could understand what is going on in their house.
Mm.
But I tell you, for like 2 years of my practice, I was struggling. Because as soon as it come in, nobody want to talk. And then I went for a particular training, an online training that time. And then it talked about the impact of being culturally sensitive as a therapist. And I'm like, oh, this is where my liberation lies.
Hmm.
And I started separating my client. Till date, this should be like 12 years ago.
Hmm.
Till date, I don't do my first session, I will see you separately so you could talk. Now, this is the beautiful part. When I started having clients that are expatriates living in Nigeria, so are not Nigerians, when I tell them, oh, I will see my clients separately, they will tell you, Igbo people will tell you, no, we are coming in together. And then they call me, they say certain things, and you will know that no Nigerian couple will say this in the presence of each other. Our marriages are rooted in deceit and secrets. It is not out of, I don't think it's deliberate. You know, it is in our subconscious to be secretive. How do you want to get married to somebody you know you can't get pregnant? And then how do you do that? And you go ahead. Number one, you don't even know whom you are. Number one, that marriage is dysfunctional in the first place. How do you get married to somebody you know you are a man, you are sexually attracted to a man, and then you are getting married to a woman? And then you don't want to talk. Say these things. Say somebody will still love you. They will still get married to you if they really want to be with you.
How does this affect the mental health now of both parties? You know, the reason I'm trying to go from here is to look at how this ultimately affects the society's mental well-being as a collective.
I guess.
So the family first. How does that affect when there are when you have a breakdown in communication, when somebody is bottling a lot of things up, secrecy everywhere, what does that do to mental health?
So they say it's a old village. That's our adage. It's a old village that take care of a child. When the old village is dysfunctional, what do you expect from the child? Now, when a woman enters, so I could take men and women. When a woman enters into a marriage, and you are looking at the man is so hardened. Right? An average African man is tough. That's the way you were built, to hide your emotions, to feel like you are in charge. Especially you even think you are doing it to favor your wife, to protect your wife. So because of that, you don't even want to express. And the woman is also trying to penetrate. She also does not know how to say it to you. Now, when you are in a space where you cannot express yourself, you can never be happy. You feel cheated, you feel used. In a lot of cases, you feel like a slave. But you cannot express it. Now, a woman, of course, it could be the other way around, but in most cases, it's women that, you know, are at the receiving end of this, you know, not being able to express themselves because they are feeling, oh, I don't know how you will take it. I don't know how, right? Now, when you feel that way, No, in fact, number one, for you, something is also wrong with you.
The
your inability to be in a space where you cannot talk, something is wrong with you. Because you should be able to express yourself. What you need to learn is the right way to pass those informations across.
Right.
But you shouldn't keep quiet. Now, when you keep quiet, you are suppressing a lot of negative emotions. Interestingly, they can even become physical health problems.
Oh.
Right. They can be, yes, when you somatize negative emotions, they could turn out. So you're going to have anxiety, you're going to be sad, you're going to be unhappy. How do you become happy in that kind of marriage? Then, of course, the man too will feel neglected, will feel like you are not doing the right thing. There is no, the right intimacy that is supposed to exist between of the two of you will not be there. And some of them will tell you, oh, we are coping and our children are not aware. I don't like to hear that. Because when what you are giving out is not the reflection of what love and marriage is meant to be, you don't need to say it. The brain of the kids will pick it up in your body language, in the way you react, your facial expression. Their brain will pick it up. So already, you're already giving your children the idea of what marriage is meant to be. So you are unhappy, you are sad in that marriage, the man is also frustrated, that is already dysfunctional. Now you are having kids in those environments, they are looking at you. Those children are going to go out there, they're going to become husbands someday, they're going to be friends, become friends in school, they don't know how to relate. So they start having relationships, social expression problems, social anxiety. Anxiety is a theme of this year's
mental awareness.
So you could see how all of these little things, you know, will expand and become the major problem that we are dealing with in our society.
Right, so now that we've dealt with the family units, I want to extend this to, you know, the workspace, you know, where you have a boss how much emotional intelligence should a boss, you know, have, for instance? How much emotional intelligence should your fellow colleagues have? Like the way we started, when you ask someone, how are you? Don't just ask, you know, just for asking sake. Ask because you truly and indeed care. I'm fortunate to be working in a place where my boss, anytime I go into his office, will say, Sharif, how are you, man? Are you okay? Are you good? You know? And the last time I had a meeting with my CEO, and in the middle of our serious conversation, and he said, Sharif, wait, are you happy? And I paused, and I paused, and I'm like, I'm happy. I'm good. And he said, are you sure you're happy? And I said, I'm happy. I'm good. I'm really good. Then I said, except for this case. And I mentioned those cases, and we trashed it out. You know, and then we moved on to with our earlier conversation. You know, that's the kind of people that I work with. So that's why I said, I'm fortunate to be working with people who have that emotional intelligence that I can read that, okay, something maybe. So because workers, employers are listening to the show. Like, what are those things that are necessary for improved mental health in a workplace?
Like, that question is pregnant. See, like, a lot of us spend our time in the workplace, and a lot of people are in crisis because of the place they are working. Now, let's start from the fact that mental health is no mental disorder, right? So, a lot of people, mental health is a spectrum, right? And in that spectrum, let's say at the far end of the left-hand side is optimal functionality. At the far end of the right-hand side is mental disorder, right? Now, when you get to your workplace and everything you are facing, you are seeing at work, you are experiencing at work, is turning you towards the right-hand side. Now, the problem with that is you are not the only one that is going to be in crisis. The workplace itself, the productivity in that office is going to be in crisis. But a lot of organizations are not even taking this into consideration. How do you send your staff for training or marketing? you send somebody that have social anxiety for training on marketing,
mm.
somebody that have depression for training on maybe technical. How? See, when a lot of people, when they get to work, they are giving you the ones that they have to give so that they can get their salary.
Mm.
But mm. when people are happy with what they are doing, they do it. It flows. Because when you are happy with what you are doing, a lot of feel-good hormones are released to your system. It's like when the kind of feelings you get is like the one you get when people are taking substances.
Mm.
When you are mm. in a place where you want mm. to be, when mm. you are doing what you love to do. So a lot of employers are shooting themselves in the leg by not taking mental health seriously. Everybody in the workplace should understand how to take the mental health. How many organizations in this country
yeah.
have like, you see, recently, I went to do grief work. I don't do grief work. But because I had diploma in grief and bereavement counseling, it's very important I quickly mention this.
Yeah.
And one of these organizations, I think they were searching for grief and bereavement counseling, I think, and it was somewhere in my CV online. So I think they just saw it and then they called me. It was a very big, it's a multinational organization. And then they were like, oh, we just lost somebody in our office. And we think we will be needing grief counseling. I tell you, when I went to do that grief work, I could sense from the body language of even the staff themselves, they are feeling, which one is grief counseling? We don't need them. You know, a person will not die, don't die now. But I tell you,
yeah.
when I started that session, somebody stood up and brought out his phone and said, look at my phone. I still sent text message to him this morning. He was sending text message to the dead person and he was at the barrier.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
And I could tell you a lot of things that happened in that session, that there are a lot of revelation. Everybody now became, eh? So you understand.
So we're going through this and we don't even know.
We don't even know. That is grief. Look at people that are dealing with emotional issues, relation. Like I say, I mean, you know, I'm a sex therapist. I always come to.
Yeah.
See, the way you see yourself in the bedroom is going to be the way you see yourself in the boardroom. There is no two way about it. If you feel little, you feel like a nobody, especially for men, you are going to feel little. You can cover it up and try. But imagine you feel fulfilled in that aspect of your life. You feel fulfilled at work. So, employers should begin to take all of, don't feel like work-life balance. What is work-life balance? Life and work goes hand in hand. You can't separate them. You cannot tell a man that have depression that keep your depression at the gates and come and be working. The depression sits with him right where he's seated. What are the organizations doing about this? Do they have therapists that visit them once in a while? Do they even tell, okay, anybody that need to talk, go and talk. We do that for a lot of people in my organization. We do that for a lot of organizations. And you will be shocked at the revelation. So what we normally do at the end of the month is just give them reports.
Yeah.
You know, and 100% confidential. I just tell you, you know, take note of this area, take note of this area.
Right.
And then you see the improvement. So in the workplace,
yeah.
mental health, in fact, we should make it a whole day.
Dr. Tolulokweko Igari, we call her the fixer. She has a show Saturday night here on Nigeria Info, 10 to 12?
Yeah, 10 to 12.
10 to 12 in the evening. You know what we're going to do? Let's come take your thought. If you've got questions for the fixer, feel free to call in and ask her your questions, because we'll be heading out for a break any moment now, okay? And please make it short and straight to the point so we can perhaps quickly attend, you know, to your questions if you've got any. Good morning to you. Yes, good morning to you. We can hear you.
Good morning. Madam, thank you for your insightful thoughts.
Thank you.
I've not seen you physically. I just love you. Thank you.
Thank you. I love you too.
I'm talking about emotional health.
I
recently lost my elder sister.
I
thought I had malaria. I thought I was sick. I went to the hospital. They did tests and everything. You know, doctor said I was okay, but my pulse was high when they checked it. But this lady I met, a young lady, Dr. Chinsom, God bless her. You know, she was just asking questions, Madam, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? I both started crying. She left her seat and held me. I was like, what's the problem? When I told her,
You know, she counseled me, she prayed for me, she helped me. You know, I felt so relieved, so warm. Nobody. Everybody that comes, ah, take heart now, don't worry, go better. It's okay, may I go rest in peace. But the way this person handled me, I didn't need the medication, but I just needed soft talk. Soft touch, and she actually touched the spot. You know, ever since, I can't forget that because she was the one that actually addressed my issue. And for that first time in that night, I slept very well.
Imagine.
I slept very well. She was not just a doctor, but everything. She was a counselor and handled my situation very well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your thought.
We're going to go off now. Let's take this break. We'll be back, Lagos. Stay with us.
Let's talk. Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
We are still on Health Thursday here on Nigeria Info 99.3 Lagos. Thank you for joining us. I have Dr. Tolulope Okoigari, the fixer, on the show this morning. And we're talking about Mental Health Awareness Month, which is for the whole month of May. And thankfully, she was able to join us this morning. She's a very, very busy person. Dr. Tolu, thank you again for giving us your time today.
Thank you. Yeah. Always a pleasure.
Let's talk about health-seeking behavior of Nigeria. Nigerians generally don't even like to go to the hospital, let alone to go and see a therapist. Like, something would have to be very seriously wrong before you can see a Nigerian present themselves to the therapist or even, you know, to the hospital. It's very, very difficult. Like, why don't we take therapy sessions seriously, apart from the poor health seeking behavior that we have?
It's still part of the poor health seeking behavior one, and I think ignorance. You know, people feel like, you know, let's see where I put it, everybody determine your own problem or their own wrapper. Like, you know, we have that. I mean, we've talked about it earlier. You know, that culture of silence. Don't talk. You know, act like you are cool. You have it all well put together. Because if you express that you are weak or you are... And then people also think it's weak people that seek therapy. No. In fact, for you to recognize that you have a problem, then you are strong. Because weak people are always living in denial. They don't want to face the fact. So the fact that you recognize that you are having a problem and you are taking a step to talk to somebody is a sign of strength. Weak people won't do that. But we don't understand things that way. We feel like you are weak when you are talking. It's a very big problem. And that's why, let me tell you, you see, the mental health spectrum I described earlier, I feel like if I look at Nigerians, I feel like everybody is facing the right-hand side. That's the way I picture it. I see multitude. So my thought is a matter of when you will get to the mental disorder side.
Yeah.
So I don't see a lot of people facing... It's a matter of time before you get to that point. And people really need to be self-aware.
Yeah.
Right? Because a lot of us, like, you feel... You just woke up and you are feeling... sad. You should ask. You should be, in fact, maybe that's a good place to start from. Self-awareness. In fact, if I wake up and I feel happy, I want to know what happened, why am I feeling so happy? Or if I feel sad, I want to encourage the positive emotions and discourage the negative ones, right? So when you wake up, be self-aware enough to you enter into your office, you are nagging, you are, nobody has offended you, but you are just, you know, you're just not happy, you're
just cranky.
You should be able to sit and say, wait, what is wrong with me? Then you can trace it back to where it's coming from. And you can, like, book an appointment and say, okay, maybe I could talk to someone. You don't wait till it gets to the point that you start needing medication. Like the anxiety that we are talking about. In fact, almost all these mental health issues, they could be mild. You don't need to have anxiety. You can have anxiety. In fact, anxiety is part of life anyway, just like stress. But when it becomes anxiety disorder, then it becomes a problem. You start to affect your day-to-day functionality. And it shouldn't get to that point.
Yeah.
Every one of us, the moment you start feeling like, I'm not in control. I don't know how this thing is doing me. I don't know how I'm feeling. You're feeling alone. You're feeling lonely. You're feeling sad, overwhelmed, stressed. You are anxious. You are confused. all those negative emotions, you need to resolve it. Take step. If you Google, you will see people that will be willing to talk to you for free. But we won't.
Because I was going to talk to you about the cost of all this, because that also, people put it into consideration in seeking help as well. Like, can they afford it?
That's it. Now, if you now get to disorder, is that when they will be able to afford it? Do you get? Right? So, but the truth is, even for the free one, they still will not come.
What do you mean free one?
You know, I run an institute, right? I run the Institute of Counseling in Nigeria. And every quarter, we do 30 days. Free counseling.
A whole month.
I will put money, advertise it on social media, on radio, on my show. I will still talk about it. Come for free counseling. They will still not come. Because they don't see the need. You know, Nigerians, as soon as they feel like my body is not hot, you know, mental health issue is so, it's so deep. And I'm very passionate about it, right? Because you don't touch the person and see a high temperature
or something,
right? You don't see, the person is degenerating gradually, but you are not seeing until you now get to the point where the person can no longer function. So we really need to, we can't move from, I think I really need to say this, people should not move from I'm feeling low to psychiatric. They can, there is something in between. You could talk to a therapist, and that's why they've turned all our medical doctors to therapists. You could talk to a therapist. You don't walk to a doctor and say, "Hey, doctor, I have, I don't know, my husband is fighting me." Like the person that just called earlier, it's just because the doctor is also aware. A lot of our doctors, they can't even concentrate on what they were meant to do. They are overwhelmed because you won't talk to the right person. So please, people should take their mental health seriously. Like we were saying earlier, right? The quality of your life is a reflection of the state of your mental health. So people should understand, you want to make money, your head need to be, like we used to say, your head need to be in the right place.
Make it correct.
Before you can make money, everything is connected to, even your physical health is connected. When people are in bad marriages, they say, "I'm okay." You are not okay, you are dying inside. So all of these things, people need to begin to take it from, we are Africans, we have thick skin. No. As long as you have blood running in your veins, you have hormones, you have a brain, all of these emotions will affect you. And emotions will never go away unresolved.
Lagos, let's hear from you once again. 01-277-0993, 01-277-1993, 01-277-2993, and 01-277-3993. We're going to take a few calls right now to get your thoughts in. And please, I beg you, go straight to the point. If you want to be anonymous, you're free to be anonymous. You can send us a message on WhatsApp. That is 0095975805 on WhatsApp. That is 0095975805. I can see your messages. I'll come to them in a moment, okay? Good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
This is Joy.
Welcome, Joy.
Thank you for that medicine,
Oh, okay. You're welcome.
Even when my sister was there, they have started. You see what the woman is saying now. Thank you, madam.
Thank you,
God,
ma'am.
God bless you.
Amen.
All those things, you do a lot of things in your body. You know, before, I didn't think, say, whether another God created the world and created us. But later, I begin to know it's the same God that created us. We just want to live this way. A man will come back, whether the woman is happy or not, he wants to jump on top of the woman. I don't really understand. Thank you
for calling. I appreciate it. Let's speak to Pastor Ladipo, who is calling us. Pastor Ladipo, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sheryl.
Yes, this morning.
Good morning to your guest. My question to your guest this morning is this. Can work stress cause someone to have some of these things? And at what point should the person begin to seek for help? Thank you.
Okay.
God bless you.
Thank you, too. Let's take one more, then we'll come to you, Dr. Tulu. Morning to you.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, please.
My name is Joy. I'm calling you from Florida.
Welcome.
I want to ask that, can shaking when you wake up be a sign of anxiety? Like, when you wake up, your body is shaking.
You are shaking when you wake up in the morning.
Yes, like you realize that almost every morning you wake up, your whole body is shaking.
Okay. Is that a form of anxiety?
Okay, so two questions. Which one do I take?
Anyone
okay,
you want to.
The shaking thing is, shaking is one of the symptoms of anxiety. Palpitation, shaking, your body is shaking, you are sweaty, your palms are sweaty, you are struggling with sleep, maybe struggling to sleep or to stay asleep. So all of this, of course, so just to answer her, shaking is one of the symptoms of anxiety. And she might want to check, maybe what does she do in the morning, the place of work she's going to. Maybe she has anxiety of, I don't want to go late. She should trace it back. When did she notice this? And then if she can trace it back, she could be able to find. Maybe it's when she even resumed maybe the job she's doing currently. So it's possible that we could trace it to something.
Right.
And to answer the question, yes, the waking up in the morning, I'm suspecting that is the agitation of, I don't want to go late, or how is the day going to be? So yeah, she might want to explore that. Then is
the earlier caller talked about work stress. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Can it lead to stress disorder? Yeah. Stress is normal. See, what is causing problem? This is not stress. Is the way you think about the stress. Stress is part of life, but it does not mean that there are some that could not be overwhelming. But sometimes it is not necessarily the stress that you are going through that is causing you the maybe mental health response you are having to it. Is the way you think about that stress. So if it is a place where you have to, like, you don't have option, you have to be there, change the way you think about that place. Change the way you think about that work. Why you are working your exit plan, right? Then, but if the question is, can stress lead to, of course, it can lead to it, but in a lot of cases, you also need to dictate the kind of stress that you are actually going through.
Indeed. Right. We have a message here from Slum Child, from Lekki. Slum Child said, may God Almighty continue to bless Dr. Tolu and Nigeria Info. Thank you. We appreciate that. I have another message here that said, I saw a young man, he will be in his mid-30s or early 40s, sitting on the Thurmelan Bridge on Monday afternoon, about to take a jump into water. Myself and my friend in the car would like to park and help, but knowing Nigerian police could show up and accuse one of being the one who pushed him into the water, I drove off and said a prayer for him in my heart. But since then, my heart has been with him. What could have pushed that young man to that point? Mental health. That's the way he put his message here. Let me take another one here from Mubadura. Abi, is that Yoruba? He wrote all of this thing in Yoruba, so I'm going to move on very quickly because it's going to take our time. Let's take another one quickly now from this message here that says, your guest, Dr. Tolu, is very good. And I know her very well. Her analyses are great. I love listening to her a lot. Thank you. Let's take another one here from... everybody just saying that you're sweet.
Okay, let me blush. I enjoy that. It's good for my mental health. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, let's take this one here that says, I got married last October and my wife died this February. I don't even know how I'm feeling now. Sometimes I ask myself if I'm going crazy. Family and friends were around, but now I'm alone. Nothing gives me joy anymore. Can't even laugh without asking myself what's the need for the laugh. I'm only trying to cope.
So sorry. I'm sending you a lot of hugs from me. I'm sure Sheriff is doing the same. Sorry about that. I think, I mean, there's nothing I could even say here that I think is going to help you. But I could personally, I don't like doing grief work, but I could personally get a therapist for him to take him. He needs to talk to someone. He needs someone to work with him. How do you even answer all those questions? Got married in
October, I think.
In October, and then lost. No. That's a lot. And because you are human, this is going to affect you. You're not a supernatural being. There's no way this won't affect you. So just trying to, and therapy is not necessarily consolation, really. It's just giving you a safe space to talk, to express whatever emotions you are going through, so that the therapist could help you to trash them. I think it needs therapy. And it's not like one time. It's something he needs to do maybe for like 3 months, you know, gradually walking through all these pains and see how, and it's not under pressure to pick up his life. He can feel all the emotions as long, and that's one thing. He should not blame himself. Maybe I could quickly drop that. Don't just blame yourself for feeling the way you are feeling. Feel all the emotions. It's a very good place. You want to cry, just cry. If you feel like talking, find someone to talk to, even if it means write. You can even start a blog. Start a blog and begin to put your thought there. That could really help
my,
you.
My friend, did you hear that? Did you hear that? You can start a blog, you can start a YouTube channel, you can, you know, open TikTok and just express yourself.
Begin to put your thought there, begin to talk, and if you want to cry, just cry, express all the emotions. And of course, you need community of friends. You know, people just after the barrier, they just move away. You know, they feel like, you know, let me not even go into grief. The way we grieve here, let me quickly drop this point. In grief counseling, the right way to grieve is to keep talking about the dead. But here, we grieve the opposite way. Don't remind him. Don't remind him. But the right way to grieve is to keep till you get to a point where you are comfortable. So there are ways to go about all of this. So in grief, all of us, I think all of us need to go for grief counseling. All of us as Nigerians. I think.
Because we handle our own differently.
No, we don't even. We don't even handle it, Abi. We don't. We are just there. We expect that we'll be everybody go there. Okay, last night we are not okay. We are not normal.
I remember, you know, that thing you said about, you know, starting a blog and all of that. I remember seeing a lady's vlog. I don't know if it was on TikTok or Instagram. I can't remember. So she bought a land, saved all her life savings. She bought a land and she was duped. And you know what she did? She started online vlog where she was crying, you know, recording herself. She was crying. She was telling her story. She was weeping. She was really, really distraught. And she was telling how the story started. She told her story one video after another video after another interview, and you know, and I could see how a lot of people rallied around, they supported her, then she got better and all of that. And to me, I think it's one avenue that, like you have mentioned, that we've not really explored. Maybe when people learn to talk and express their emotions without being seen as a weakling, or let's just be vulnerable when there is need to be
that's
vulnerable.
That's the word. Vulnerability.
We'll try.
Therapist sheriff.
Let's take another call. Good morning to you. Yes, morning to you.
Yeah, my name is Ngozi.
You're welcome.
I'm calling you from Ajayi State.
Welcome.
Yeah, I'm so happy this morning listening to the woman in the studio.
Thank you.
Many a times we pass through a lot down here, and people are expected you to swallow them all. In fact, the other day I was saying something. I had an issue like that, and I was trying to tell my husband how I feel. The way he understood it made me, I begin to wonder. I said, this man doesn't even know what I'm passing through. You understand? Sometimes emotionally you are broken inside, and people, it's more painful when people are around you. You try to let them know how you feel, and they are trying to let you know that these things are nothing. You should just wake up and walk as if nothing happened. Then she mentioned a very vital thing that I know. I had a sister that lost a husband some time ago. When everybody was around her and everybody was just talking and crying and all that, eventually when they left 2 months later, when I go to her house, I usually remind her because he was an uncle. So what I do, I remind her about my uncles, how we used to party, a whole lot of things. And I remember a family friend was there one of these occasions, and she told me, a medical doctor precisely, she said, why are you always reminding her that these things will still make her cry? And I said, no. Reminding her is a way of healing. When she remembers the good time she has had with this person, she doesn't have any choice but to smile it all away. When she needs to cry, she cries. But these things will help her heal quickly than trying to hide things, because she cannot necessarily forget. Everywhere in the house reminds her of the man. The children reminds her of the man.
All the time.
So the best way is to keep talking about the man, so it will get to this saturation that she no longer feels this pain, but like a kind of joy inside of her when she remembers the memories that they've shared together. I think it's another avenue that we also need to explore. Rather than going to where people grieve and you keep saying, sorry, oh, this one, and you are just like adding pepper and salt inside the whole thing.
Thank you so much, and God bless you for what you do.
God bless you too. God bless you too. Victor, I'm very sorry I can't take your call because we're out of time. Dr. Tolu will be taking her leave now, but she has a show every Saturday from 10 to 12. It's called Intimacy Clinic. Dr. Tolu, before then, yeah? How can people reach you should they need your assistance? Because I know that what we've done this morning is to enlighten people on the importance of talking.
So I'm thinking of, what should I drop? My website, my... Okay, so I'm
which one will be easy for people to reach you?
Let me drop a phone number on the website. They can go to instituteofcounseling.org.
Okay.
That's a very good one. And I also think, for a second, people who really want to help people as well, who have the passion for helping people, can also join the Institute of Counseling so they could help. The church counselors, the school, in fact, we didn't even talk about that. The school counselors, you see our schools, I need to say this.
Okay.
You see our schools, the reason why majority have counselors is for cosmetic purpose. So that when Ministry of Education is coming, or when the parents are coming, they say, or they have PTA, they say, oh, our counselor, come out. We have a counselor. That's the reason. And the counselor is teaching chemistry and physics or Yoruba and English. And I tell them, it is better for these children not to go to class when they have issues that they are dealing with. See what our teenagers are going through? It is better for them not to go to class than for you to be saying they should go to class. They cannot go for counseling. So please, if you have tendency or you have passion to help people, come out and study at the Institute as well. So visit instituteofcounseling.org, and there you can reach me on 081-845-75377. I could take it again?
Yes, please.
081-845-75377.
Dr. Tolu Lokpe Okoigari, The Fixer, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Lagos, that's our show. Bye for now.
Many years of trust, quality, and all the goodness of fruit poured into one lovely pack with no artificial flavors, colors, and...
And I want to assume that you would run, because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, get fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not